and welcome to Nothing Ever Happens in Canada's second birthday. That's right, it's been 2 years of amazing and unbelievable adventures here on the channel. And I'm so grateful to all of you that have come along on this journey with me and continue to come each week. You truly are the best crew members out there. I thought we'd take a few minutes to look back at some of the amazing 30 adventures we went on in season 2. And if you have any personal favorites, do reach out and let me know. You know where to find me, at Nothing Canada on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. In season 2, we looked at some cryptids. We discovered the Kempenfelt Kelly lurking in Lake Simcoe, the Shunkawarakeen that was thought to be running around the fields in Alberta, and the Devil Monkey who left many footprints behind in BC, just to name a few. We looked into some true crime with the bootlegging tale about the Emperor and the Princess that took place in Alberta. We went searching for Tom Thompson in the murder mystery on Canoe Lake in Algonquin Park, Ontario. And we even got a chance to check out legendary gangster Al Capone and his connection to Canada. For our ghost fans out there, we never let you down. Not only was the Emperor and the Princess episode full of true crime, it had its very own ghost tale that I even experienced myself. We also met another ghostly bootlegger named Smoker, who was known up in the Yukon. And more recently, we just went to the very spooky Atlas coal mine located just outside Drumheller, Alberta. There were UFOs flying in from all directions this year, the strange lights in Quebec, the famous five in Saskatchewan, and the Yukon UFO that so many different eyewitnesses saw. We also went on an amazing but scary plane ride with the Gimli Glider in Manitoba, met a Dutch princess we helped rescue so many years ago, and we even went to outer space. All while battling this nasty virus out there affecting us all, that we have now just learned to live with, COVID-19. Something that has truly changed all of our lives. We experienced terror, heartbreak, and devastation in Canada when the worst Canadian mass shooting occurred in our beloved Nova Scotia. We stood together in this moment and became stronger as an entire country. Our hearts were broken again just a few weeks later when our beloved Snowbirds, a demonstration air team, would fly over Canada in Operation Freedom to lift our spirits, only to experience a tragic accident while taking off from BC. And then, the biggest and most important movement of our generation's time would begin. The Black Lives Matter movement. A movement that is still going on, and still very much needs your attention and action. Please visit your local Black organizations and see how you can help. With all these very tough times going on in our world, I made sure to try and help where I could. I tried to put out a lot of bonus adventures, just to try and help take your mind off stuff when you needed a break, and most importantly, to help all of us feel like we could still go out on an adventure during these very difficult times. We went on 11 bonus adventures this season. One being our first international adventure ever to Germany to check out a stolen gold coin worth $1 million. We went on 2 road trips checking out all things Canada, on Canada Day of course, and an extra large road trip for Easter when we went looking for some of Canada's most interesting, very large roadside attractions. Overall, I'd say we had quite an amazing season 2, and I can't thank you all enough for coming along, and I can't wait to see where season 3 takes us, crew members. For now, sit back, grab some popcorn, chips, candy, whatever it is you fancy, and maybe even a pen and paper if you're a treasure hunter. You might just want to make some notes. Oh, and for my ghost fans out there, we have something for you too on this adventure today. In the tradition of treasure hunts, because that's what started this channel, the Lost Lemon Mine treasure hunt many moons ago. Then last season, for our first birthday here on the channel, we went hunting for the lost gold of Scotty Creek. So of course, we are going hunting for gold again on our second birthday bonus adventure. And this time, we're going looking for pirate's gold. And not just any pirate's gold, the famous Captain Kidd. who just may have, according to legends, hid some of his riches on one of Canada's East Coast islands. Trigger warning here, this tale is about pirates, gold, brief mentions of weapons, as well as how a pirate was executed for his crimes. If these are triggering in any way to you, please skip this adventure and head out on a much more family-friendly one. If you know me, I will only say what needs to be said, nothing in great detail. Now if you're still sticking around, let's get to this birthday treasure hunt. William the Kid was born in 1645. He grew up to be a Scottish sailor and then became one of the most famous pirates that ever lived. His beloved ship was known as the Adventure Galley and had 34 huge cannons and had a crew of at least 100 men. Captain Kidd was known for his gold, silk, and jewels. The Adventure Galley was known to be able to operate in both windy and calm weather on the waters, due to the fact that she had sails and oars, something that was not common back in the late 1600s. Just a little note here, this will not be a history lesson in Captain William Kidd, as there are many other amazing podcasts out there that have already done a fabulous job of telling you all about Captain William Kidd's life. Today, we are only going to focus on the legends that bring him to Prince Edward Island, here in Canada, where these legends claim he just may have buried some of his treasure as he was trying to offload his riches before being arrested by the crown. You see, Captain Kidd was caught up in a rumor that he was working for the King of England, and that's how he became rich so quickly. No one seemed to simply believe one pirate could steal so much on his own. The King of England did not like being caught up in this rumor and sent his men to capture the pirate once and for all. Knowing this, it appears Captain Kidd made some rounds around places like Madagascar and such to offload treasure, but then legends say he made his way to the Atlantic coast of North America right before he surrendered in Boston in 1699. Legends claim Captain Kidd hid his treasure everywhere from Newfoundland to New York. But today, we are only going to look at the old tales from Prince Edward Island and see what they have to say. Brenton Woods, who lived near Montague, a small town on the island in the early 1700s, which is right about the time Captain Kidd was about to surrender. Woods would claim to see Captain Kidd walking near the Brudenell River. I hope I said that close to right. He described him as having long dark hair, a very thick mustache, and he was in black clothing that swirled around him in the wind when he walked, making him appear almost like a ghost or demon-like. Woods was so scared he hid behind a tree. As the pirate continued to walk, his many swords and guns clinked and clanged on his belt. Woods continued to watch as 20 of Kidd's men would bury a couple of chests in very deep holes right along the beach at the edge of the woods. When they were done, they boarded their ship and left out towards the sea. Woods quickly began to come up with all sorts of plans about how he would retrieve Captain Kidd's treasure. Since he was working all alone on his ideas and did not want to share his newfound fortune with anyone, he took quite some time to come up with a really good plan. During this time, Captain Kidd himself had been captured and hung on May 23, 1701, for 1 count of murder and 5 counts of piracy, allowing the crown to wipe its hands clean of the rumor of being affiliated with the pirate. Woods had decided to build a boat and carry the treasure down the river just as he had seen Captain Kidd do. He quickly made his way to the spot once the boat was finished. It was a very dark night when Woods arrived, as he did not want anyone to see him. But when he arrived at the location, somebody was already there digging up his treasure. Woods was enraged. Instantly, he crept as fast and quietly as he could to see who was stealing his treasure. Once Woods got close enough to see, he was in absolute shock. It was Captain Kidd himself. But how could it be? He had just been hung weeks ago in England, and everyone knew it. "So ye come for my gold," Kidd said. Woods stood in shock, speechless. and don't deny it, for I can see the look of disappointment in your eyes, even from where I stand," Kid continued. "Well, you're too late, you sniveling son of landlubber. It's gone," Kid scowled. Captain Kid then filled the entire hole back up, muttering the whole time the pirate's oath. Then he threw his shovel and walked down the beach till he disappeared with his chest. Woods walked over to the treasure area in disbelief and found the old rusty shovel that Kid was in fact using. And when Woods turned over that rusty old shovel, it had the Jolly Roger skull and crossbones etched on its blade. The shovel became Woods' greatest treasure. He went to tell his tale at conferences, schools, lectures, wherever and anywhere he could. And he always brought his treasured shovel with him when he did. Right after Captain Kidd was hung in England for his crimes, rumors began to surface on the shores of St. John Isle, Prince Edward Island's name at the time, that the treasure had indeed been buried near Marshfield. The legend would say that Captain Kidd stashed numerous chests of gold coins, jewels, silks, and other valuables. Most of this loot, it is said, he acquired during his raids in the Caribbean, making it even more obvious that he would head north up the coast as far as he could to hide his riches, especially if he knew his days were numbered as a free man. Jim Haskett, a local to the area, had a dream about the treasure and claims Captain Kidd himself had told him in his dream where he had buried it. He managed to convince his good friend Bill Heaney to help follow his dream, and the pair took off in search of the dreamed-up treasure location. Haskett claimed Kidd said it was buried near Marshfield, like most already believed it was, but it could not be retrieved without a human sacrifice being made first. A sacrifice had to be made while burying or unburying the treasure. That was the pirate's oath. Haskett went on saying Captain Kidd also said no talking during the digging, no lights to be used that will draw attention, and it must be done at the stroke of midnight, no later or earlier. He also told Haskett he would know it was midnight because his ship would appear just offshore and that some of Captain Kidd's men would join him to help reclaim the treasure. And that was Haskett's very elaborate dream about a conversation he had with the legendary Captain Kidd about his buried treasure. Haskett and Heaney would head out for the midnight dig just as Captain Kidd had instructed them to do. Midnight came and went, and there was no sign of Captain Kidd, his ship, or his men. Haskett would yell out in frustration, "Kidd, I command you to appear and deliver the goods." The two friends stood silent together in the deep dark woods, barely breathing. They were both so scared, but still there was nothing. So the pair continued to dig for the treasure with or without Kidd and his men, because that's what they came to do. They got about 10 feet down in the hole when they heard the worst scream they had both ever heard in their whole lives. It rang through the woods and sent shivers up both their spines. The friends got out of the hole as quick as they could and ran out of the dark woods, never looking back or coming back to look for Captain Kidd's treasure ever again. All it took was one horrible scream in the woods at night, and they were out. And I don't blame them. Next, we're heading to Bay Fortune on Prince Edward Island, just 64 kilometers or 39 miles east of Marshfield. This tiny town has probably received the most attention from treasure seekers. And how can you blame them with a name like Bay Fortune? The name is said to come from either the 1752 map of the area, which shows Riviere à la Fortune, I hope that's close, which translates to River of Riches. This is the namesake that most treasure hunters like to give credit to. Then there's also the English schooner known as La Fortune, that some also believe the name came from. Either way, Bay Fortune has become famous with those seeking Captain Kidd's treasure here on the island. The area has been heavily searched over the years, and up until the 1960s, there was said to be holes everywhere. So many so, they just had to be filled in. Psychics have come to the area to help locate the long-lost loot, as well as searching dogs, and even those dowsing rods have been used. So let's head there now and check it out for ourselves. Every year, treasure hunters from around the globe come to Bay Fortune on Prince Edward Island to try their luck at finding the elusive Captain Kidd's treasure. Even many of the locals in the area know the tales of the treasure and admit to looking more than once or twice in their years. In the early 1900s, two men from the Boston area would show up at the island in search of a local guide to aid them in their expedition. They stumbled upon Bim Burke, a local man who had knowledge of both the area and the legend of the treasure being hidden on the island. The pair of men from Boston made Burke a generous offer to act as their guide, and he graciously agreed. Burke's first piece of advice for the pair was, "There isn't any sense of digging in the daylight. Anyone who knows the legend about the treasure around here knows it has to be recovered at night." Under the midnight hour, the pair instantly took their new guide's advice and prepared for a nighttime dig. With a map in hand, the group set out before midnight to the suspected area. They had packs full of heavy tools and one small lantern for light. This night was very dark on the island, even darker than usual, as there were so many clouds blocking out the light from the moon. It was so dark, in fact, they couldn't read their map against the landscape, and they were starting to get scared they might get lost. When the clouds suddenly parted and the moonlight illuminated the forest around them. Then as the men looked out towards the water to find their sense of direction, they suddenly realized they were not alone. A full-blown pirate ship, sails and all, was just off the shore, glistening under the moonlight. As the men stared in horror at their company on the waters, they suddenly realized something even more terrifying. A small boat full of men, and by the looks of their silhouettes, appeared to be massive pirates with guns, swords, hats and all. The largest was standing in the dead center of the boat, and it was heading right in their direction towards the shore. The group did not need to look anymore. They knew they needed to get out of there before that boat made it to shore. They would all make it back to Burke's house safely. And it said the pair from Boston left so fast the very next morning they forgot most of their gear. As far as anyone knows, they are no longer interested in finding Captain Kidd's treasure. Then in the 1920s, another young man would show up from Surrey. He thought for sure he would get lucky and find that treasure. In fact, he was feeling so good he mentioned it to some of the locals in town. Word got around to a group of young boys who were tired of all the tourists coming and looking for treasure on their beaches. They decided to play a little prank. They buried a metal pail full of rocks at the said-to-be location of the elusive hidden treasure. The young man from Surrey would head out that evening to try and find his treasure when he hit what sounded like a metal object while he was digging. His heart nearly skipped a beat. He frantically began to dig even faster as the local boys looked on and laughed in the distance. The young man would pull out his bucket full of rocks and realize that would probably be the only treasure he would find in the area, considering the amount of holes around him. His guess was as good as anyone else's as to where Captain Kidd hid his treasure. He packed up his things and headed back home without any of the rocks he found. Though Captain Kidd's treasure has not been found yet, according to legends, his ghost still roams this island, and not just in one spot. So he just may be hanging out protecting something more valuable than we could ever imagine. I hope you all enjoyed this birthday adventure treasure hunt today. I thank you all so much, crew members, for coming along these last 2 years as we travel around Canada checking out all the awesome stories it has to tell. From shipwrecks, to war heroes and women who should never be forgotten, explosions, maple syrup, Vikings, love stories, hauntings, and so much more. I'm so excited to see what we discover in season 3. I'm Canadian Girl. Until next time, my friends. And thanks again for all your support over these last 2 years.
This podcast is a part of Straight Up Strange Productions. Discover more shows like this one at straightupstrange.com.
You guys who always hang around to the very end are the best crew members this team has, and I can't thank you enough. This little podcast wouldn't be what it is today without your continued support. I'm Canadian Girl.